Thank you for listening to Christian Family Church Podcast. Here at CFC, our mission is to live and communicate the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world around us. From wherever you're listening, we hope you'll be encouraged by this week's message.
Who likes storms? There's always one. There's always one that likes the storms. I get very unsettled in storms. I go camping, and whenever it's stormy, I'm just like on edge. Went up to Jimmy's Beach. Does anybody know Jimmy's Beach in northern New South Wales, past Newcastle, Hawk's Nest, that area? Anyway, went up there camping. It was wild, the weather. And so we've got a little camper van with an annex, and the wind was blowing, and the annex would just like go. And I could not sleep for like a week. I'd be getting up at 2 a.m. in the morning and just doing little circles around, making sure that nothing was going AWOL. But storms can be, I find them quite unsettling. I've decided that I have a firm ground policy because I do not want to be on a boat when there's a storm. I've been on a boat when there's been still waters, and that is bad enough. So firm ground policy, please. God, do not call me onto a boat for ministry. That would not be merciful for me. I'm sharing this because sometimes we go through physical storms, but sometimes life feels like storms, doesn't it? Life feels like things are being blown about to and fro. And I've got this little saying that is, you're usually in three stages of life. Coming into a storm, in the middle of a storm, or just coming out of a storm. Now that seems really bleak, isn't it? But as you sort of start to assess your life, you go, actually, that's pretty right. We're usually in one of these three stages of life. So my question is, how do we keep hope in the middle of a storm? Because we're pretty much guaranteed that at some stage of our life, we're going to be smack bang in the middle of a storm. Some of you may be there right now. So today, I want to look at a scripture that shows us that there can be hope in the storm. So you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 23. I'll be reading from the ESV. I think, oh yes, it worked. Tech guys, you guys are amazing. And I'm not just singling you out because I've been to other churches. Tech guys are amazing. Let's just read this together. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22. Immediately, he made the disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves for the wind was against them. Who feels like sometimes the wind is against you? Oh, I know, we've got a saying for that, don't we? That you're butting your head against a brick wall. That was the situation here. The wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, that's Jesus, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let's just pray. Lord God, as we delve into these passages, just speak to our hearts now. Give us all that we need to have hope amid the storm. I pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. The more I've meditated on this passage, the more depth of meaning that I started to see. And there's no pun intended there. How do we keep hope amid the storms that threaten to overwhelm and sink us? And so I want to point out five encouragements that we can have within this passage. And there are so much more within it, so I encourage you to spend time meditating on this passage. But let's look at five encouragements that we can learn, and we'll sort of build that from the context within this passage. So what we see here, if we look at the verses that come before this, Jesus has just done something absolutely amazing. He's fed 5,000 people with a loaf of bread, five fish, and healed many of these people as well, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And then it's all finished, and so Jesus says to the disciples, "Get in the boat and go. I'm just going to stay here and I'm going to dismiss the people, but you guys get in the boat and go, and I'll meet you across the other side." So they're crossing the Lake Galilee in a boat. And this, at times, can be quite a hairy journey. But here is a point that we can see. Being in the storm doesn't mean that you're not following God. Because sometimes we enter into the storm and go, "Oh, well, that mustn't be what God wanted me to do." It's important for us to be wise around it, though, to have good discernment and apply good discernment. Why it talks about that we need to be wise, like you read about that in the letter of James, have wisdom. Because sometimes we find ourselves amid hardships. Sometimes it's because we've gone our own way. But sometimes it's because God has told us to go. Sometimes he wants to refine our faith and draw us nearer to him. And one of my favorite passages, I may have even mentioned this last time as well, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 7, where it talks about the being refined, that God wants to refine us, put us through the refining process. And that's what the storms do for us. So whichever is occurring, God can use it for his good, whether we've gone our own way or whether we're there because he sent us. God can use it for his good. God can use it to show us how deep, how wide, and how vast his love is for us. And so we read that the disciples were obedient. Guess what they did? They got in the boat and they went. They headed off to the other side, just as instructed. Not far into the journey, the storm whipped up. And this is apparently a common thing on the Lake Galilee, that storms can just suddenly whip up. And these seasoned fishermen were struggling to cope Remember this. They knew what they were doing. They were qualified fishermen. And they were struggling to cope. According to what we read here, and if you look, there are other passages, the other Gospels that record this, Mark chapter 6, verses 45 to 52, John chapter 6, verses 16 to 21, if you're wanting to keep a record of that. According to the experiences that we can read in the Gospels, it was so bad that it took around 9 hours to travel 6 to 8 kilometres. That would be pretty frustrating, wouldn't it? The wind was against them. And we read that in verse 24. Have you ever felt like the wind is against you? Maybe you feel like the wind's against you currently. Well, here's the first encouragement that we can get. When we feel that we're in the storm, we need to hold on to the words and the promises of God, knowing that where He sends, there He will give us strength to handle the situation. If He sends us into the storm, He will also bring us through the storm. Someone needs to hear that today. You're in the storm. If God has led you there, He will lead you through the storm. He doesn't want you to stay in the storm. That's not our God, is it? That's encouragement one. Hold on to the words and promises of God because He is true. So, in this passage that we've read in Matthew, this is sort of alluded to. It's not specifically said, but I think it's in Mark. It's more explicitly stated. But you get this image that Jesus is up there, He's praying to God the Father, and He's looking out over the Lake Galilee. Just get this picture in your mind, okay? Because this is what I'm picturing. He's looking out over the Lake Galilee, and He can see the boat out on the lake. He can see the struggles. He's watching what they're going through from a vantage point as He communes with the Father. This is how Mark records it in Mark 6, verse 48. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, He went out to them, walking on the lake. So even though the disciples couldn't see Jesus, Jesus could see them. Jesus saw them. And I sort of started to realize, you know what? It's more important that Jesus sees us than we see Jesus. Sometimes we're so busy looking for proof that He is with us, but we're not realizing that He's there. He's looking, He's watching out for us. Not only this, we can be assured that at just the right time, He will come. He will reveal Himself. And that's encouragement too. Even when we feel like He's not there, we can trust that at just the right time, He will reveal Himself to us. God is watching and caring. And at just the right time, God will come and provide for our needs. Is that something that you need to hear this morning? Their fear was that the storm would overwhelm them and cause them to sink and drown. Now, this was not a small thing for fishermen of their ilk to be concerned about. If they were fearing that they were going to sink, then there was probably a very good chance that they were going to sink. But Jesus comes to them at just the right time, and He will do the same for you. So in the darkness, Jesus is now starting to walk on the water. And in the darkness, in the confusion, in their fear and anxiety, they think that Jesus is a ghost. Now, this was actually a common superstition of this time, that fishermen believed that the drowned fishermen would walk the waters. And so that's what the disciples thought was going on, that they were seeing a ghost walk the waters. But Jesus calls out to them and says, "It is I." Now, this is a connection back to what God said to Moses through the burning bush, "I am." He said, "It is I." He's talking, already starting to bring his divinity into the conversation. Now, I love it when God brings his divinity into the conversation, because when he starts to go, "I am God," you know, like what Andrew shared this morning, "Be still and know that I am God." When we know that God in his divinity rocks up, guess what? Amazing things are going to happen. There's going to be breakthrough. Who needs breakthrough this morning? That's what happens when God in his divinity rocks up. Jesus calls out to them and he says, "It is I." And as I said, the Greek, direct Greek translation of that word is "I am." Jesus is coming in his divinity. So miraculously, he's walking on the water. Now, in the natural, this is mind-blowing, isn't it? You know, so many times in films, people try to duplicate this kind of thing, and everybody's blown away by walking on water. But the real display of power that Jesus is exhibiting here is not that he's walking on water. He was walking on something very important for the disciples. Because what were the disciples worried about? They were worried about drowning. And so here comes Jesus going, "You know that thing that you're scared of? It's under my feet. I'm walking on it. I'm stomping on your fear. Because I'm bigger than that which you fear." He puts it under his feet. And this is encouragement 3, which I hope is the same for us. Whatever we might fear, guess what? It's already under his feet. He walks on it. Perhaps your lake is finances or provision, and you fear not having enough. You fear not being able to provide. This is what the word says, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." I love that verse because it says that God's economy is different to our economy. And I've lived in a time where we did not have very much. I had to miss out on meals during the day because we didn't earn enough. And yet, the provision of God, where I would go and spend money that we didn't have. Our budget, we made our budget one year and it didn't add up. Our bills were greater than our income, our bills alone. And yet, I'd go up and I'd tap the, this was early on when the tap was coming in, so it was really helpful. I'd tap the card on the FPOS machine and it's come up approved. Oh, thank goodness. Part of me knew that there was no money there. God's economy is different to our economy. His riches are different to our riches. We deal with a finite, but God deals with the infinite. Maybe your lack of life circumstances is life circumstances, and you fear that you can't cope. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I," that's God, "will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That's just to name a few. That's just to, you know, we're all going through different things. We're all faced with different struggles. And we all cope with the struggles in different ways. But whatever your lake is that's causing fear in you, there is a promise in God's word for each and every struggle that you face. And whatever you fear is under the feet of God. So what happens next in this account is the second miracle in this passage. Peter calls out to Jesus and he says, "If it is you, command me to come to you." Now, has anybody pondered this in going, what was Peter thinking? Seriously, if it was me, and I'm glad it wasn't, but if it was me, "Jesus, if it is you, come to me. Keep walking on the water. Let me stay right here where I am." But Peter says, "I want to walk on the water. I want to put my feet on my fear." You know, you just think about Peter, and he was just like, he's just all gung-ho. He's like all in. He displays such great faith in saying, "If it is you, then I'm prepared to step out of this boat." And Jesus says to him, "Come." And so this is encouragement four. When Jesus says, "Come," we have nothing to fear. We can step out of the boat. We can step out of our comfort zone. We can step out. We can step off hard, solid ground onto that which doesn't seem hard and solid. So Peter steps out of the boat. He starts to walk on the water. And what we can gauge from what the gospel said is that he must have taken some steps on the water. He must have stood on the water. He must have got far enough away from the boat to not be able to turn back to the boat. He must have been near enough to Jesus for Jesus to reach out to him. Peter stepped out in faith. He walked by faith, just as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." But what does Peter do? He takes his eyes off Jesus. He starts to look around at what is around him. He starts to look at the waves. He starts to look, he starts to feel the wind. He starts to realize how exposed and vulnerable he is outside of the boat. And guess what happens? Faith. That faith that took him out of the boat and allowed him to walk on water. I mean, it's the power of God. It's his divine that made him walk, but his faith was part of that. And fear started to creep in. And as fear starts to creep in, he starts to sink. I sort of started to picture it's like he's walking along and then all of a sudden it's like, I wish I could do the escalator. My knees aren't good for that anymore. Oh, why, thank you. Just don't ask me to start doing any of the... I don't bend well. So he starts to look around at the environment, and faith gives way to fear. He starts to sink, and he calls out to Jesus, so he knows who is his Savior. He calls out to Jesus, "Save me." And Jesus does so. He reaches down and he picks him up. And once again, what Jesus does is he places Peter's feet on top of his fear once again. I just want to pause, and I know that Pastor Andrew's already talked about this, but if you don't know Jesus, this is an important part for you. If you haven't had an experience of Jesus, this is really valuable for you to know. That Jesus is the one who saves. He's the one that if you're struggling, that you all you need to do is reach out and say, Jesus, save me. And when we come and make that declaration, make that request with repentance and faith, he will do it. So if you don't know Jesus, if you're watching this, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, I encourage you just to call out, Jesus, save me. Now, this is the interesting part because Jesus scolds Peter for his lack of faith. Now, once again, I like to try and put myself in the shoes of those like Peter at this point. And I'm like, but Jesus, look at how many steps I took in faith. And, you know, yes, he stepped out of the... He actually, you know, we might try to compare the disciples in this point. Because Peter perhaps had the most faith out of all the disciples. But having said that, although he had the most faith to step out of the boat and go to Jesus, he also showed the greatest disobedience, the greatest doubt, and the greatest lack of faith as well. Because what was it that Jesus said when he had arrived? He said, "Take heart and don't be afraid." But Peter steps out on the water and he's doing something that no other man has done apart from Jesus. And yet, even as Jesus proved to him that he could do a miracle, even as Jesus proved to Peter by allowing him to walk on water, guess what happens? He lets the circumstances provoke fear in him again. He starts to allow them to define his behavior. I know, I've been there. You know, God comes and he reveals and he moves in power in my life, and then the very next day, guess what? I'm not moving in that power anymore. Peter's trust and faith in God disintegrated because of fear. And so what's the lesson that we can learn from this? Is that we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. And keeping our eyes on Christ keeps our focus on hope rather than fear. Victory rather than defeat. It stops us from letting what is around us define us. Because it's God that defines us. However, having said that, we need the balance. Being aware of our circumstances and the storms of life is not the problem. That's not the problem. The problem is allowing the circumstances to provoke fear in us, even though God is with us. And I've been there. I'm preaching this because I've walked this path in my life, and the reality is I'm probably going to walk this path again some other time in my life. But fear is a tool of the enemy. Fear is only avoided by keeping our eyes on Jesus. So let me ask you, where is your focus? Nearly done. There's actually a third miracle that occurs here. Jesus and Peter get back in the boat, and what happens? The storm miraculously stops. But that's not... The climax of this scripture is still yet to occur, even at this point. So there's been these amazing miracles that have happened, but the climax still hasn't happened in this passage. Worship is what we're called to do. This is the pinnacle. This is the pinnacle of this passage. And this is the fifth encouragement. When we get through the storm, we need to foster a heart of worship for our Lord and Savior and acknowledge who He is. Did you notice that last? Truly, you are the Son of God. The declaration of His divinity. We acknowledge that He has brought us through the storms and that He is sovereign, and we worship Him. We have a heart of gratitude. We have a heart of praise. That even in the storms of life, He will never leave us or forsake us. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And so we learn to worship outside of the storm. Just go with me here. We learn to worship outside of the storm so that when we are in the storm, worship is our natural state, making it a habit that continues. I'm just going to come to a close, and perhaps if the musicians want to come back and if we can get some of those beautiful Holy Spirit keys going, that's really good. One thing I love about musicians is their ability to just prophesy without any words being spoken. And so just in this moment, just let the Holy Spirit prophesy. And as I just sort of wrap this up, if we're to keep hope in the storm, then there are several things that we need to do. Remember and hold on to the promises and the word of God. Don't let go. Because being in the storm doesn't mean that you're not where God wants you to be. It doesn't mean that you're not following Him. Know that Jesus is always keeping His eyes on you, and He will turn up at just the right time. Know that all your fears are under His feet. He's walking on it. He's victorious already. There is no reason to fear. Jesus has overcome all that you are worried about, all that you're concerned about. He has already won. He's walking on it. Don't be afraid to step out of your comfort zone when Jesus says, come. But keep your eyes fixed firmly on Him. Don't lose focus. Don't lose perspective. Don't let fear overcome your faith. But know that Jesus will always, always pick you up when you allow fear to creep in. And finally, always remember to worship God for His guidance, for His protection, for His provision, individually and corporately. Worship Him because He's worthy of our praise. Because when we come through the storm, I can guarantee you the storms that I've walked through, I would not be here if not for God. And I'm sure that there's many of you that would testify the same. And so therefore we worship You. We worship You, God. If you feel like you're in a storm, perhaps you feel like your situation is provoking fear in you, perhaps one of these five encouragements you're struggling with, I'd love to pray with you this morning. This is the part that I love. I love praying with people. And I wish my wife was here with me as well, because she's got a profound prophetic gift. And so you'll just have to put up with me. I've got a prophetic gift, not a profound one. So if you'd like prayer for anything, then please feel free to come forward. Do we come forward here, Andrew? Is that... Come forward. I've been told that enough room has been made here. I will stay here as long as it takes to pray for anyone who comes forward. But I'm believing for breakthrough. If the word that I shared earlier on about the relationship breakdown and the hurt and mourning from this week, then I'd love to please come forward and make yourself known. Let me just close in prayer. Why don't you just stand to your feet and why don't you hold out your hands? Just welcome the Holy Spirit now, because I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants to do a work. He wants to fall and come like a flood. I know that that's ironic considering the message that we've just heard, the scriptures that we've just looked. But Lord, by your Holy Spirit, just come like a flood right now. In this time that we have remaining, just come like a flood. Lord God, just break into our circumstances. Lord, for those of us that are in the middle of a storm right now, be the peace. Walk on our fears, Lord God. Be victorious as we know you are. Lord God, I speak breakthrough into each and every one of our lives, Lord. Hope, Lord God, I speak hope. Peace that goes beyond all understanding. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just receive the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit is doing right now. Just receive it. You might be thinking, Steve, nothing that you've said to me is applicable to me today. That's fine, but the Holy Spirit can still do something in you right now. The Holy Spirit can still deposit something that is beyond what I've said. And I hope that that's the case. I hope that God does something that is beyond what I've said. Thank you, Lord. Just make deposits right now, Lord God, in each and every one of our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, by a flood. Flood our lives, Lord God. Pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
As the band leads us now, just come forward if that's you, as we just have some time to pray together. We have such a privilege to be able to come together each week and spend time in prayer together. And this morning, you know, it's just awesome sometimes to have someone outside of the situation. Steve doesn't, as far as I know, you don't know anyone here. Well, maybe a couple, but sometimes it's just amazing to let someone who you know doesn't know you, doesn't know anything about you. We haven't caught up and kind of said, oh, now this person, that person, that. We don't do that. Just come forward if there's something going on in your life you'd love prayer for this morning. Give God an opportunity to speak into your life as the band leads us in this song now. Thanks, guys. Just come now if that's you.